keep up the good work. Like Brother Fry said, it is profitable for you in the long run. There's stuff I remember doing growing up that the verses come back to my mind. You might not remember them in a week or a month, but God will bring them back to you when you need them. So a very profitable endeavor to do indeed. Jude 1, if you find the book of Jude, make sure you find chapter 1, the only chapter in Jude. So you flip too far, you'll miss it. Find Revelation and flip right before Revelation, and you'll find the small epistle of Jude. And this morning we want to give you something practical, and I'm going to give you one word if you're going to take notes, and that word is focus. Focus. Now Jude writes his epistle to a group of believers because there has come in his time false teachers who are coming into the churches making themselves look good, but in fact they are really bad for the early Christians there. And they are taking the gospel of Christ and turning it into something awful. They're basically twisting it from what it really was. This is what they're doing. They're coming in and saying, well, once you're saved, you can basically go and live like the devil. Go and live however you want to live. And Jude said, hold on, time out. We need to contend for the faith. We need to fight for the faith that was delivered unto us by the saints. The Lord Jesus Christ gave to us when he died on the cross of Calvary. So Jude begins his epistle with verse number 1, tells us who he is. The Bible says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. He goes on with a customary greeting to his readers before telling them what we need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he takes some time to go in and talk about what these false teachers are doing, what's in the lives of these false teachers, before wrapping it up in the short epistle to say, hey, we need to be serving the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. Simple command today, though, as we consider, how can I live my Christian life, or how can I, as an individual, have a life that is successful? First thing we need to do is focus. Focus. It's an easiest thing to say, if you will, but sometimes it's a hard thing to do. Because if I were sitting right there where you are, I've got sometimes a bazillion things coming through my mind. What, who knocked me, who got me wet in the previous game, how am I going to get them back, or thinking of, you know, dunking the evangelist is not all that it's cracked up to be. I would recommend dunking one of your leaders. That's so much fun. You guys, the leaders are in your cabins. I'm at a disadvantage. But what I'm saying in all this is there's a need for each one of us to focus on what God has for us. And this time we have together, 25 minutes together, we need to focus on what God has for us. Verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. First things first, as Jude addresses the believers, which if you know Jesus as your Savior, you are included in this as well, is how he identifies himself. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now, the James that he is talking about here is actually the half-brother of Jesus. We're saying half-brother because Jesus was not born of Joseph and Mary. He was virgin-born conceived. But Joseph and Mary did... There is a spider under your seat, sir. And he's a pretty big one. Which, he had my focus, literally. And it wasn't going to take him long to distract one of your focuses. So, there you go. That's how... A good spider is a dead spider. That's my philosophy on spiders. Now, where were we? Anybody know where we were? We were talking about Jude, yes. We were talking about James was the half-brother of Jesus. And Jude identifies himself as the brother of James. And he said, what's important? What's interesting about this?
Jude could have taken his pen in hand and said, Jude, I am the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you really ought to listen to what I'm going to say. But how does he start? He says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ. Oh, and by the way, brother of James. So it kind of takes a backdoor way into going about it. Because he doesn't want it to be focused on him. He wants to be focused on the readers and what they have for us. And so the word here is focused to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. This morning I wanted to see what God has done for us and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we're able to come today and to glean from your word. Hopefully, Lord, what is this practical Christian truth? Lord, if we're going to grow in our Christian walk, Lord, we need to focus. Lord, if we're going to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, those that are here today might not know you as their Savior. We need to focus, Lord, on who we are and what we've done. We're sinners by nature and that Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins. So, Lord, I would ask that you would help each one of us this morning and this time we have together to simply focus on what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So God has called on each one of us to focus upon him. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, focus on him and what he wants of you to do. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here today and you're not sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, then my friend, you need to take the time to stop and focus on where you will spend eternity, whether it's in heaven or hell. And that all determines, that all hangs in the balance on what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The command here is focus. The focus upon God here is demanded by the revealing of who God is to us as Christians. What does it say here? Jude is writing to his readers. We're part of that here. And he says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. This idea of focusing is not something that is foreign to the Word of God. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. As we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, you read in Hebrews chapter 11, you see the Hall of Faith chapter, where men and women lived their life for God, were beaten, were tortured, were killed for the Lord. And Paul, and the author says here in Hebrews chapter 12, there are great a cloud of witnesses, and this is what we're supposed to be doing while we're here on earth. We're to be looking unto Jesus. How easy is it, I don't know about you, but it's easy for me, to stop looking to Jesus and I start looking to those around. And then I begin to think, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so over here, but no, he's, what's your name?
Chance.
Chance, that's right, remember. And?
Ed.
Ed? Okay. I'm not as bad as Ed, so I feel pretty good about myself. Now, Chance is a really good guy, but you know what? Every time I'm around him, I feel like a dirty rotten sinner because he lives for Jesus so well. And what happens when I do that? And I look at Chance and think, you know what? I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to rest on my thing that I feel better than Ed here, even though I'm sure they're both great young men. I'm just using you guys as an example. But what happens? Paul says, when I compare myself with one another, I'm not wise. Why are you not wise? Because when I start looking to those around me, instead of the one who I should be looking, Jesus, you know what I'm going to do to the ones around me? Paul says it in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to start biting and devouring one another. I'm literally. But the idea, the language there is that I'm going to start nitpicking everything apart. You guys with me? You know what I'm saying? Okay, so this is why Jude is saying, let's focus on what God has for us. Important thing here, you will never learn to live for God unless you learn to focus upon God. You will never learn to live for God unless you learn to focus upon God. And so we have to consider, How do I focus them properly as a Christian or as an individual? Foundationally, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you need to come to know Him as your Savior. You need to admit you're a sinner. You can't save yourself. Believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and confess in that He rose again from the grave and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that He is Savior. That's very important for you to do. That's the foundation. So from that foundation, we can then go on and look at truth number one, and that is this: focus on your standing. Focus on your standing. You're here today. You know Jesus as your Savior. Who are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, them that are sanctified by God the Father. Them that are sanctified by God the Father. I want you to notice, men and women that are here today, focus on your standing, on who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's very easy in life when you've messed up or you've become discouraged that you don't remember who you are in Jesus Christ, that rather you remember the bad things that you've just done. And maybe you've even confessed it to God, but maybe you feel like you're still in guilt and, I can't go on and serve the Lord because of the bad things I've done. Well, at that point in time, it's probably the devil beating you over the head with the sin that you've committed that you've already confessed to God. And in those times, you need to just stop and to consider, who am I in the Lord Jesus Christ? Focus on your standing. What do we mean by this? This is positional. We're going to describe. This is positional. Look at verse number 3. Jude says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." What is Jude talking about here, the once delivered unto the saints? He is talking about what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, how He shed His blood for the sins of all mankind, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the great commission that Jesus Christ gave to the apostles, that they were to spread throughout the world, and they flipped the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The reality is this once delivered unto the saints, this salvation, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have become, the word is positionally sanctified. We have become positionally sanctified. So that carries the idea that the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are made perfect in the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever feel perfect? Nobody raised their hand, because we're all sinners. And the reality is, once you're saved, though, do you know how God sees you? You've basically been clothed with dirty rags, okay? And if you could picture a scene in heaven, the devil's there, he's accusing you, saying he's clothed in filthy rags, there's nothing he can do to stand before you. And when we put our faith in Jesus as our Savior, you know what Jesus does for us? He takes our filthy rags and He brings His righteous robes, His spotless robes of righteousness, and places it upon us. So whenever we sin, our sin has been covered for by the blood of Jesus Christ. So when God looks at us, He sees us as perfect. He sees us as justified, as just if I had never sinned. Why? Not because of me, not because of you, but because of who? Jesus Christ and His payment He's paid on our behalf. It's essential for us to know this. As we go about our Christian life, something for practical Christian living, that we would learn, that we would take the time to focus on who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on our position. God sees us as spotless through the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful reality that is. That God sees us as spotless. But then there's also, as we focus on our standing, we recognize that this standing, that this sanctification is one that is progressive, if you will. Go over to verse number 20, not too far over. There's only one chapter here. But verse number 20, Jude says this, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now Jude has just been talking about the mockers, the scoffers in the last days. He said he was in the last days, roughly 2,000 years ago. We are still in these last days today. Nothing has really changed the fact that there are people walking after their own ungodly lusts and their own flesh. But Jude says this, you, Christian, you're supposed to build up yourselves upon your most holy faith. You're supposed to be growing in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Is there ever a point in our Christian life that we will reach perfection? That we will reach a plateau and say, I've reached it. I'm here. Ever a point? No, there's not. The Bible says we're to be, in Romans 8, 28 and 29, now we're to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. So that's less of me and more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reality is as we're on this earth, we are to follow this big word here, but progressive sanctification, which really is, we ought to become more and more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, well, how is it possible to do this? 1 Peter 3:15, you guys have already been putting it into practice. I can tell from the memory verses that you've learned. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How do you sanctify the Lord God in your hearts? Simply being in the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God. So when somebody comes up to ask you and say, hey, what's different about your life? You can say, well, the Lord Jesus Christ lives inside of my heart. And here, let me show you how you can have a relationship with Him as well. This is a process of becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one day, when we pass from this earth and come into heaven into the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will experience that, if you will, ultimate sanctification. That ultimate sanctification. Look at verse 24 here in Jude 1. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. When we come into heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, God will present us faultless. We will be spotless. We will have ultimate, if you will, sanctification. But while we're down here on earth, God wants us to becoming more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants us to point others to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we are to be about. We are to focus on our standing. Focus on our standing. Who are you in the Lord Jesus Christ? You're made perfect by Jesus Christ. God sees no sin positionally in you, so that Jesus Christ has paid the price of your sins on the cross of Calvary. The recognition also is that as you focus on your standing, it is one in which you are growing in the Lord. So focus on your standing, number one. Number two, focus on your assurance. Focus on your assurance. Look at verse number 1. In Jude 1, the Bible says this, that them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. So Jude is saying, I'm writing a letter to those that have been sanctified by God the Father. Basically, to those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. God has sanctified you. You are positionally perfect in God's sight, just as you had never sinned, because the Lord Jesus Christ, He has His spotless robes of righteousness on your account, on your behalf, for you. So there is that recognition there. But then it goes further and says, to them that are preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, here's something big here that I believe that as we live our Christian life, we need to focus on this. And that is focus on your assurance. Focus on your assurance. Number one, focus on your standing. Number two, focus on your assurance. You are preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, preservation, this idea of being preserved in Jesus Christ, is the opposite of perseverance. You don't have to persevere your way to heaven and feel like if you haven't done good enough, you're somehow not going to make it to heaven. No, the Bible says you're preserved in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is the one that, he's the one that keeps you safe. Now what's important about this? It's about him, it's not about you. It's about Jesus, it's not about you. You know, how does Jesus become the agent of our preservation? What did Jesus say when he was on the cross in John chapter 19, verse 30? Those final words, he said, "It is finished." And he gave up the ghost. He died. What did he mean by those words, "It is finished"? He said, "The debt is paid in full." There's not a single thing more that mankind has to do to get to heaven. It's not by works. It's all through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "It is finished." And Jesus Christ himself usurped the power of death. In Romans 4:25, it says that Jesus Christ was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Death held no power over Jesus. Now, there's not a single one of us here today that could die and raise ourselves back up from the dead. That's just not going to happen. But Jesus Christ had power over death. Jesus Christ had power over the grave, and that's why he was able to rise again. And it is Jesus who gives us the certainty of his words in John 10:28 when he says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands." Jesus said, "I've got a hold of them that have put their faith and trust in me as their Savior. Nobody can get them out of my hand." Now, I like the illustration that a preacher once used. I remember growing up. He said, envision yourself being a mosquito, if you will. And the mosquito is going to try to get out of your hand's grasp. Well, it's like this even with our salvation, understanding this idea of preservation, being preserved in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has us in his hands. God the Father, then, in John chapter 10, also is identified as keeping us in his hands. So we're taking another hands. Actually, would you mind coming up and helping me? And would you mind as well, sir? And what's your name? Zion?
Isaac.
Isaac. Okay. So Zion, take your hand, put them around me. So we've got this mosquito in our hands, right? He's right in my hand. Safe link. Do as hard as you want. That's totally fine. And Isaac, come around and wrap your hands around us and just hold it together. Now, I don't have duct tape right now, but the idea of what the Holy Spirit does for one of us is that he is our seal unto the day of redemption, where he acts as that Isaac's hands, if they were wrapped all around us, duct tape wrapped all around us. And one day, you know what that mosquito is going to do? Mosquito is going to say, "I'm going to get out of here." And he's going to have all the muscle he can to escape our three hands. Is it going to happen? Thank you guys for your help. The mosquito is not going to be able to do that, is he? The idea here, my friends, is when you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, you are likewise in Jesus' hands, in God's hands, in the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about what some would try to push of losing your salvation. It's not possible. You are eternally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are, what Jude said, preserved in Jesus Christ. What's important about that? It's him. It's about him. It's not about you. It, guess what? It's finished. It's not uncertain. Well, was it enough that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary? Maybe he has to come back again, because I'm not sure he really paid for the sins of all the world. What were those three words he said? It is finished. It's done. It's complete. It's settled. Nothing more has to be paid. The recognition, if you're even here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, you might be tempted to say, "Well, I've got to do my good works to try to get to heaven." No, 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 no. Jesus said it is finished. It came through his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. All back in the pages of the Old Testament, they looked forward. Even in the nation of Israel, they would offer the sacrifices on a day-by-day basis, reminding themselves that we are sinners in front of a holy God, and we need a Savior, and one day that Messiah is coming who's going to pay the price of all mankind's sin, and they look forward, and they put their faith and trust in that, in their Messiah, who was the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was that perfect sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice. Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He only had to do it once. He was the spotless Lamb of God. You say, well, how could he pay the price? If I were on death row, I could only have one of you jump in and say, oh, hey, I will take Daniel's place where he doesn't have to die. That would be fine. As long as I accepted it, the judge would say, okay, I'll take that thing. But if all of us were on death's row and Brother Fryer were to come in and say, well, I'm going to take the place of all their penalties, judge, the judge would say it doesn't work that way. Why? Because it's just one for one. So how could Jesus do it for the whole world? This is how. Because he was God in human flesh. This is the major importance, again, of why he was not born of Joseph and Mary. He was virgin conceived. He was virgin born. And because he was God in human flesh, he could pay the price of all mankind's sin. He can do that, my friends. He can preserve us. We are preserved in Jesus Christ. All right? So the word today is focus. Focus on our standing. Focus on our assurance. But thirdly, finally, we need to focus on our responsibility. Focus on your responsibility. That's the third truth. Number one, focus on your standing. Number two, focus on your assurance. You guys are listening well. And number three is focus on your responsibility. What does the Bible say here in Jude 1:1? It says, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. The word called here is very significant because these are those who have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Paul uses it in Romans 1:7 when he says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, he says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Jesus Christ, called to be saints. Now, Jude is writing to a group of believers in he recognizes these are ones who have been called. They've been called out of the spiritual darkness into God's marvelous light. It says in 1 Peter 2:9 that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Colossians 1:13. God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know what happened the moment you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You were taken from this kingdom of darkness. You're on this pathway to go into hell's fire for eternity. And the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, God instantly translated you to where you're into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. Jude is writing to these believers. He said, this is what's happened to you. And my friends, if you know Jesus as your Savior, this is what's happened to you. A lot of times it's easy to be discouraged and to be downhearted or to just want to go in with what everybody else in the world is doing today. But the Bible gives us a practical command here in Jude 1:1, and that command is to focus. To focus on who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, or rather, we are to focus on our responsibility. And as the Bible gives these words and called, it gives the idea that we're called into holy living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's an easy tendency amongst Christians to say, well, once I'm saved, Daniel, you know, I can go ahead and live however I want. Well, that's kind of exactly what Jude was battling against in his letter. He was battling against these false teachers who were telling everybody in these churches that you can go ahead and live how you want. You can go imbibe in the worst sin you imaginable, and it's okay because you have the freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is not about what we can do and what sin we can imbibe in. It's about how we can better serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we love him. Why? Because he first loved us. And the recognition, my friends, is that we are to be about in our Christian life because of what God did for us, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. We as Christians would then look at that and say, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done. Use my life for your honor and for your glory. Peter says it in 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be holy, for I am holy. If we're going to be about trying to do that, what should we primarily, foremost, be doing? We ought to be focusing. Focusing. Focus on our standing. Focus on our assurance. And focus on our responsibility. Can you say that with me? Focus on our standing. Focus on our assurance, and focus on our responsibility. To live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to focus on him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time we've been able to have together. Pray that you please bless in the events of the day. Help it to be an enjoyable time, Lord, and a good time of fellowship, and a good time of becoming more and more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, today, that we would maintain even the right focus. I pray that you do a work in each one of our hearts. Only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, who would I turn it over to?